the breath comes to your attention, we can combine this inner smile, the sense of contentment, being at home, at ease, with the breath, breathing in this inner smile, this feeling of the inner smile, and breathing it out. Breathing in the sense of contentment, being at ease, at home, and breathing it out. coming close to the end of the meditation, so we can just reflect for a few moments on how we feel. Did we feel the contentment of an inner smile or not? And what was the cause for this? And we can share the energy of this meditation, whatever contentment, sense of ease, peace, wisdom, understanding, whatever we aroused in this meditation, with everyone here, with our family and friends, wherever they be, and with all beings everywhere, that they may find this inner contentment, sense of being settled, happy to be here. And we can make the aspiration to use more of this contentment from the inner smile in our day-to-day life, at any time in our meditation, this sense of contentment, to develop it, make it grow, incline towards it, bring it up more and more. And we can finish by anchoring this feeling of the inner smile in the heart, in the mind, so that at any time, day or night, we can remember it, we can bring it up to return to that sense of contentment, ease, being at home, being content. And so now we can slowly open the eyes and move the body to make ourselves more comfortable. So I hope people managed to or found that useful. It's always interesting, you know. I always say you can't do it wrong. Whatever the experience that you have, whether it works for you or not, it's something we can learn from. So if it didn't work for you, then we can think, why didn't it work for me? You know, what was the cause or condition for that? And of course, there are so many different positive emotions, wholesome emotions, that we can access and we can use with the meditation, we can use in our daily life. So don't, if you feel that the inner smile, this idea of an inner smile concept or visualization of an inner smile, is not for you, then try something else. You know, there's metta, of course, loving kindness, there's gratitude, this sense of thankfulness. There are many, many different emotions, compassion, joy with others' success, with others' good qualities. That's wonderful, that's very good. So there are many different positive emotions we can develop, we can work with the mind. And as I say, if we can use them with the meditation, it will empower the meditation for sure. But it's also very useful in our lives to develop these positive emotions. Oftentimes I hear people, it almost seems to me from what they tell me, that, you know, you just feel what you feel, and, you know, that's it. If I'm in a bad mood or I'm irritable, that's it, I'm stuck with it. And as a meditator, as someone who works with the mind, I find that really a strange idea, actually. I think, yeah, it's there, you know, everyone feels irritation or negative states of mind from time to time. But the notion that it's just there and you can't do anything with it is it's very strange to me. Of course, you can't control it. If you're trying to control the mind, it will rebel. It doesn't work. But if you can find the right causes, the right conditions that bring up a positive state of mind, that's very, very useful. And especially to have a positive state of mind towards, you know, that sense of discomfort or unpleasantness that one's experiencing, you know, because one, those times, one needs that. You know, when people are angry, when somebody has said or done something that's upset us, who needs the loving kindness? We do. The other person? Well, it's a bit beyond most people's ability to spread loving kindness to somebody who's just said or done something that's really pressed our buttons. But of course, as we develop, that's quite possible to do, the more developed we are. But first of all, first aid, as I call it, emotional first aid, is us. We're the ones hurting. The other person may not be hurting at all. So, and oftentimes too, when people have this idea of, you know, for instance, giving metta to somebody who's just upset them, it's a bit, can be, as one monk said to me, like cosmetic metta, cosmetic loving kindness. It's just putting this little veneer, band-aid, of loving kindness over a festering feeling of ill will, anger, irritation with this person, what they've done, how dare they do this, and that sort of thing. So really, we have to just go, first of all, go to the person's hurting the most, us. And then, you know, when we have that loving kindness, when we have that positive emotion, then we can do something about the situation in a more positive way, a more effective way. So I was just going to mention those additional positive emotions that we can develop. And as I say, Ayakema, one of my teachers, used to say, the right meditation method, right technique, is the one that works. It's the one that works for you. You know, so this is our job as meditators, to find out what works, what brings more peace, more stillness, more wisdom, and then go in that direction. We're working with the mind, learning about the mind all the time. And of course, meditation is, as I said, developing the mind, cultivating the mind. And this is very much a learning experience that we are undertaking. So, are there any questions people have? Comments, questions, complaints? I once had a complaint after a metta meditation. A person said to me they felt extremely irritable and annoyed. I said, well, that didn't work for you. It was quite interesting, actually. Oh, yes, yes. Any here? Any? There we are. It's nice to include everybody on the internet. I hope the picture was okay and all that sort of thing. Is it there, that camera?
Yeah, we just changed that.
Oh, all right. I find this camera over here difficult, actually, because I've been told this is the active one over here. So I keep looking over here, but I tend to want to go towards the audience, more of the audience.
Straight
ahead, that's much easier. Oh, very good. There we are. Hello, USA. Oh, my goodness, it must be very early in the morning for you, I think. 12 hours, something like that. How can one meditate away fear and worry in the midst of an event? How can one meditate away fear and worry in the midst of the event? Well, I think first of all, you know, the idea of, it's really, isn't it, it's coming from the emotion of wanting to get rid of it. It's like a negative emotion to what we're experiencing. It's a rejection of that fear and that worry. And as I was just mentioning, probably the best thing we can do at those times, a very, very good antidote to fear for us, is to develop loving kindness for ourselves. We're the one that needs it. We're the one that's afraid. We're the one that is worried. And so if we do that, what tends to happen is, if the loving kindness builds up, there's no room for the fear. The fear, there's more of a sense of steadiness, stillness, safety. Often in the Metta Sutta we hear, don't we, that may we be safe and secure. And so this metta is a very good antidote for that. And it will also, to a certain extent, it will help with worry too, because, you know, we will find that we are not afraid, we won't worry so much, we can be more settled and more at peace with ourselves. So I would suggest to the person from the USA, I would suggest to you to do some metta at those times for yourself, not for the another person who's making you afraid or a particular situation, just for yourself. And that way, you know, the fear and the worry can be reduced. The Buddha often said that our job as practitioners, spiritual practitioners, is to avoid or abandon, let go of negative mind states, and to bring up, develop positive mind states and to maintain them. But in a very real sense, if we bring up a positive mind state and to mind, it will deal with negative mind states. It will abandon negative mind states that are already there. And of course, one of the things we need also to do is look at the causes and conditions for the fear and worry to come up, because this is really going to the root of it, isn't it? If we look at what's bringing up this fear, what am I really afraid of? What's bringing this up? Is it a sense of self? Often it's about what other people may think of us, or what we think other people think of us. It's usually like that. So this is two things one can do, is to bring metta to oneself and then also to inquire into what's this about, what's going on. And particularly that sort of inquiry may be better after the event, when the mind is more settled and more peaceful and got more strength to look into the causes and conditions. Of course, the Buddha's path, all about causes and conditions and results, seeing causation, as we call it, you know, the links between what's causing things to arise in our lives and understanding them. So I hope that was useful for you, to develop some metta and to look into those causes and conditions. Ah, now from Sydney, so that's, 7 o'clock. How can one calm the mind down when first beginning to meditate? How can one calm the mind down when first beginning to meditate? Usually, I don't know about you, but for myself, when I do the mental relaxation, not so much the physical one, you know, the workout as I called it, but the mental one, I really start to calm down. I feel the mind, I don't know if you get this feeling, but I feel the mind sinking into the body. It's quite an interesting experience. So that helps to calm the mind down in the first place and to bring us into the present moment. Oftentimes, I was really amazed in Sri Lanka this year in January, no, last year, now it's last year, in January, Ajahn Brahm gave a retreat for 150 monks and nuns in the mountains in Sri Lanka. And I was really taken aback by how much emphasis he put on mentally relaxing the body. He did a lot. It was incredible. But I think it's very important, because if one does that, this response that I'm talking about, they often call it relaxation response, this feeling that the mind really sinks into the body, that the body really relaxes, is a very good first way to calm down the mind, because the mind often, very often, goes with the body. So if the body is relaxed, the mind becomes relaxed. And then after that, of course, coming into the present moment, these are all stages of calming down, really, because a lot of the busyness we have, isn't it, is to do with the past, what's happened, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, and being concerned with that, and about the future. It keeps us busy, those two things. So when you come to the present moment, you're calming down the mind. You're giving it a lot less work to do. And then, of course, the breath is a very good object for calming the mind, and especially calming the thinking. The Buddha said he recommended this as a technique for calming thinking down. And why is that? Because the breath is in the present moment. The breath can't be in the past or the future. It's just here and now. It's very simple. It's uncomplicated. You don't have to. We can't get into theories about it and all this sort of thing. And of course, the breathing that the Buddha is talking about is a natural breath. It's not a yoga breath. It's not complicated. You're not holding it for periods of time and then exhaling from this nostril, that nostril, whatever. So all those things are really calming the mind down when we meditate. So I hope those things, you know, they work for you. Another, you know, there are many techniques, aren't there? Many techniques. Another thing one can do is, if there's a lot of thinking, take 3 deep breaths, or even more if one wishes. Very deep breaths, exhale. And that very temporarily reduces the thinking for a time. So this is another technique that can calm the mind down. At the beginning of the meditation, for many people, it's good to have a little for the mind to do, because we're usually busy, aren't we? We're very busy. Most people are busy during the day. So when we sit down to meditate, the mind will be busy. So sometimes, for instance, Ajahn Chah used that idea of you're aware of the breath coming in at the nostril, you're aware of the breath at the chest, at the abdomen, and then you're aware of the breath going out from the abdomen to the chest, to the nostrils. And this bit of work can be useful in the initial stages, because then the mind's got something to do. So you could try that too, that's another way. Because sometimes if you slow down too quickly, it's just too much of a change. It's like you've changed gears too rapidly in the car. There's a bit of a crunch. So you could try those things. But as I say, you know, the relaxation, very important, and the present moment and the breath, good. But then the deep breaths can be useful, and even giving a little bit of work at the beginning of the meditation can be useful. So I think you can try that and see what happens. So this is another one from, next one is from India. Ah, very good. Dear Venerable, in meditation I am aware there is a very disconnected chatter in the mind, and aware of the nice flow of the breath. Does this matter? Does this naturally change only to awareness of the breath? Yes, yes. That's a very good sign, I think. You know, disconnected chatter. Often people might express it as background chatter. It's sort of like we are, you know, overhearing a conversation almost, somebody else's conversation. And that is good, because if it's disconnected, if it's like somebody else's conversation, we're not so interested. So very naturally it will reduce and eventually change to the awareness of the breath. Because it's only those things that we're interested in, we give attention to, that will grow, that will continue, that we'll get involved with, get engaged with. So if it's disconnected chatter, I think that's very good from the person in India. And it will very naturally go change to an awareness of the breath. Because your interest is not going towards the thinking, it will go towards the breath. So this is, and as I've been encouraging people, the more attractive you make the breath, the more you dress it up with a very good feeling, the more likely the mind will stay with it too. It's more interesting than the chatter, more interesting than the past and the future, and more interesting than being anywhere else. That sense of contentment of being in the present moment, if it's a very attractive present moment. So thank you for those questions from the US, from Sydney and India. Amazing. So are there any questions from Nolamara in Western Australia? Or complaints? So I think we can just, those who would like to, we can pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha and just finish off. And if you've got anything you'd like to discuss, you're welcome to come up.